Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, hang out a second. You might have heard me talk about the chat room on our Patreon page. It used to be exclusive to the Patreon app, but now it's available for desktop browsers as well. This way, you can keep up with the conversations, even if your phone is dead. So sign up now for at least $1 a month and get access to our growing community of listeners at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. It's a safe environment free of a-holes and MAGA trolls. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Oh, yes. I hate this. It is revolting.
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 23, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi, for interrupting me. Day 1,190 of the Biden-Harris administration, 196 days until the 24th presidential election. Find me on Threads and Instagram at the Bob Seska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
Yeah. You say Buzz Burbank.
My God.
You've said it all.
Here he is.
Do not go in that courtroom.
Woo. Stinky.
Hi. Hi, everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. Now formulated to sanitize and freshen.
My God. Finally, those two things together.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Trump's first criminal trial started this week. It's underway right now.
Really?
And it appears that Trump's lawyers went off the rails with their opening argument.
Mm-hmm.
Legal experts say it's way too soon to bring up the glove not fitting.
I remember.
And during yesterday's testimony, Trump kept handing notes to his lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Experts believe they were either instructions or he was ordering cheeseburgers. You just don't. No.
Yeah.
As you may have heard, the lawyers are having a lot of sidebars with the judge, and now we know the actual reason. It's to get away from the smell.
We're going to go stand over here.
Yeah. See, Trump is now actually his own set of magical dwarves. He's sleepy, grumpy, and stinky.
Hey, the hat trick.
And the judge has said one more outburst, and he'll be charged with contamination of court.
Right.
And finally, this was shocking and surprising to me. Trump actually took a phone call in court the other day.
Wow.
Not only does that violate courtroom protocol, turns out it was a butt dial.
The Bob Seska Show.
New from KJL. It's Courthouse Gas. 20 original songs. 20 original artists. Elton John.
They're gonna make it a fart.
Courthouse Gas from KJL.
Right in the middle of trial.
You get Blondie and Fart of Gas.
Was this all Trump and he had no class? Soon turned out, had a fart of gas. Smelled like the real thing, was it too fine? Mocha was passed from his behind.
You'll also get the romantic.
I hear your greasy KFC. When you're farting in your sleep. I smell the cheeses that you eat. When you're farting in your sleep.
Pat Benatar.
You're a fart maker. Deal breaker. Big figure, don't pass gas around near me. You're a fart maker. Deal breaker. Forest breaker, don't you pass that gas near me.
This song we didn't even have to make a parody of.
Ooh, that smell.
Gas from KL. Wherever records
are shredded.
Get your wow. tickets at Sears, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Tower Records, and Kmart.
That was a masterpiece.
That was incredible. One of my favorites. Yeah.
A masterpiece on a lot of levels. Brilliant, excellent work. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
I smell the cheeses that you eat when you're farting in your sleep. Holy fucking shit. Wow. Rocky, MNT, and Mike. And, of course, Marion Ann Arbor in there, too.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Have you heard? Donald Trump was farting in court. Allegedly.
Haven't heard a thing about it. Yeah. I saw, you know, some kind of Photoshop, a meme. It showed 12 jury members seated in the jury box all wearing gas masks.
That's right. Thank you, Internet. This is, of course, tailor-made for social media, and we've been taking full advantage of it here. Lots of excuses to play fart noises, which is perfect because that's kind of what we do already, so, you know.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I mean, we first learned of this late last week, so, you know, it's not like, and this is my challenge. By the way, how'd I do on the fart jokes?
Perfect. Perfection.
Because, and believe it or not, until the trial started, they were all fart jokes. The entire monologue was that.
Yeah.
Only the finest ones made the cut. As you know, Bob, from working with me over the years, I'm not, yeah. Pardon the expression. Some had to be let go, Bob. But as you know, this is not an area of conversation I'm comfortable with, nor have I ever been.
You said before the show, I don't normally joke about farts, Bob.
I don't, but it was, again, pardon the expression, it was out there. So
yeah.
Do you still have the rim shots ready?
I do.
Let me see if I can bring this up here.
Okay.
Here we go. As you've no doubt heard, Trump's reportedly been passing gas in the courtroom. Two words, breakfast burritos.
There you go. Why was that not in the monologue?
It didn't make the cut, Bob.
It was on the edit room floor, I guess.
It was.
That'll be a deleted scene we'll include on the DVD.
Indeed.
And my other question is, going back to the Rocky Mountain Mike thing, does anyone under the age of 40 remember K-Tel? Does anyone know? Because I know we know.
Yeah, we know. I mean, and... you know, and there were songs from the 80s, which was great because I think the music you like, the music I like, and so it was wonderful to hear that. But yeah, I don't know if that endures or not. Certainly worked for me. I couldn't be happier with that bit.
I smell the cheeses that you eat when you're farting in your sleep. Good God, that is art. That is art right there. That is poetry.
Yeah, well, he's another tortured poet, just like Taylor Swift. Yeah.
So what's going on right now? Because we're obviously going to return to the fart issue. Throughout the rest of the show on occasion, because that's what we do. And I have something to mention about Donald Trump and freezing in the courtroom, by the way, complaining about the temperature in the courtroom. But before we dig into that, what's the latest on these possible contempt charges for violating his gag order?
Well, here's the coverage that I've provided this morning, and I've relied on, and just to be open about this, I've relied on live updates from reporters inside the courtroom from both the New York Times and CNN.
Yeah.
They seem to get the most and best stuff the fastest. Mm. So I watch both of those alternate, and when I get something of import, I try to pass it along as soon as possible to everybody else. Here we go. New York Judge Juan Merchan is about to hold a hearing that could find Trump in contempt of court for apparent and repeated and egregious violations of the gag order imposed upon him by that court.
Yeah.
Trump has allegedly committed over a dozen violations since the revised order 9 days ago. Prosecution cites 10 apparent violations of the gag order on Trump, asks he be fined $1,000 for each, and be reminded he can face 30 days in jail for future violations. Prosecutor asked judge to do whatever it takes to stop him because he poses a threat to the proceedings.
Yeah.
Trump stares forward. Prosecutors present a damning case that Trump violated his gag order at least 10 times. They listed each and every one of them. In addition to a $10,000 fine, prosecutors asked judge to order Trump to remove the 10 posts. The judge, by the way, is aware of other potential violations, and he can act on those as well, even though the prosecution only presented 10.
Yeah.
Trump's lawyers get up to argue that his posts were just political and just responses to attacks, not willful violations of the gag order. The judge briefly lost his patience with Trump's lawyer after challenging him to show the statements that Trump was supposedly responding to. The judge has also dismissed the claim that reposts are not violations.
Of course they are.
Judge Merchan wants Trump to assert under oath that he did not intentionally violate the gag order. Judge tells Trump's lawyers they're losing favor with the court and that, quote, it's a good thing the jury's not here. That's the judge speaking.
Wow. So go back one news update.
Okay.
To
all right.
The part about Donald Lost Trump. Patience. Yeah. Having to take the oath.
Same one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Judge Mershon wants Trump to assert under oath. And he wants Donald Trump to take the stand. Assert under oath that he did not do this on purpose, that he didn't mean to violate the gag order. Now, what's important about this is Trump and his lawyers are claiming there were no violations. So Trump now has to promise that he didn't violate the thing he says he didn't violate.
Interesting. Okay. So if Donald Trump ends up taking the stand, you will update us, right? Like if that happens during the show, because that's the thing that normally would happen right after we finish recording the show.
Yeah, so hopefully I don't see it happening today at all, Bob. Because they have moved on now. Pecker's back in the courtroom. and a little tip for those of you. Since we're already down at this level, I guess that's where we started. A little tip for you future trial lawyers.
Uh-huh.
Always lead with the pecker.
Of course.
But he's...
Hey, while we're doing silly sound effects, we could just throw in a couple of these.
Sure. Let it all go. But anyway, he's back on the stand and expect some fascinating testimony out of that. But we're done with the gag order. The gag order hearing ended. Judge says he'll reserve judgment on the alleged violations, and so that will not be today.
Okay.
The jury was to have reported at 11 o'clock this morning, and they did, to continue the criminal trial, and a testimony continued and continues by National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. And there's some strategic advantages to the defense, well, a number of them, but we can talk about any aspect of this trial that you want, Bob, because I've been all over it so far.
Well, absolutely, and we certainly will. Right?
Right.
This is what we do. And so the thing that I noticed yesterday that was possibly one of these 10 violations of the gag order is that Donald Trump went after Michael Cohen yesterday. You know how they're doing this thing where they lead Donald Trump out into a parking garage where they have established a playpen or some sort of cage for him to stand in, almost like Roadhouse, where it's
it
might as well be made of chicken wire with people throwing, you know, bottles of beer and eggs and crap at the chicken wire. It's sort of like that. And I don't know why he's standing in a square of barricades. It's not like the barricades would keep someone from attacking him. They just have him corralled into this little square.
It's like a line to keep people back, basically.
Yeah, and so he went out there yesterday, went after Michael Cohen, said, when are they going to look at all the lies that Cohen did in the last trial? He got caught lying, pure lying. When are they going to look at that?
Major violation right there.
Yeah,
major
that is violation. A violation of the gag order. He was attacking, talking about. I mean, he doesn't even have to attack them. All he has to do is talk about a witness, and that's a violation of the gag order, right? I mean, if there's nothing that specifies he has to say something insulting or awful about them, impugning their judgment or their integrity. He can just, whatever he says about Michael Cohen is a violation of the gag order. He can say, well, Michael Cohen loves cheeseburgers, and that would be a violation of the gag order. Am I right? I guess. Right. I don't know. Right. This is an obvious violation of the gag order.
Yes, this is.
Yeah, yeah. And what it is, once again, is it's not just a signal to Michael Cohen to watch what he says, not just a warning to Michael Cohen. It's a warning to all witnesses. That if you take the stand, I'm surprised he hasn't talked about David Pecker in the last couple of days.
Not yet. Yeah, he's been at least that careful.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that he's going to go after everyone, but, you know, there's a chance that unless Judge Mershon takes a hardline approach to this, that Donald Trump will continue to violate his gag order.
I think we can expect Judge Mershon to take a hardline approach to this.
Yeah.
He made it clear to Trump's lawyer today he wasn't buying any of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see if I can find this quote here. He told Todd Blanche, the judge told Trump's lawyer Todd Blanche, he was, quote, losing all credibility with the court.
He didn't have any credibility in the first place, but okay.
This is what, Tuesday?
Yeah,
I mean, they're already in trouble. Let me just say this. The prosecution got to open And then that's followed, and then the defense gets to speak last in those opening arguments. So the prosecution did their presentation, and there were virtually no interruptions. I think it went very smoothly.
Yeah.
And then interruption after interruption, the prosecution, and this is very unusual, a very brave and unusual thing, a risky thing that the prosecution was doing by objecting in the middle of the defense's opening arguments. You don't do that. Nobody does that to anybody. Defense lawyers don't do it to prosecutors. Prosecutors don't do it to defense attorneys unless there's been some sort of egregious violation.
Yeah.
Perhaps Trump's attorney made some reference to subjects that had been verboten by the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prosecution was right to make these rare and unusual objections and risky because this all happens in front of the jury. And one of the prosecution objections was denied, but the others were upheld. So the jury yesterday saw the defense winning, and Trump's side losing mm-hmm. on these challenges. And then it's been said by trial experts that the jury members make 80% of their decision based on the opening arguments. Well, prosecution got straight through. Defense got interrupted multiple times and lost multiple challenges. And then the defense got to put up their first witness, Pecker, and then he's back today. And then the jury has tomorrow off. So they're going to have tomorrow to just think in their minds about what David Pecker testified, about what the opening argument that they heard from both prosecution and defense, mm-hmm. and about what they've witnessed of the judge ruling against the defense in this case so far. I don't know that there may be a juror. I think there's one juror who says he gets his news from a Truth Social.
Yeah.
And so we could end up with a hung jury, but I guarantee you this, this trial is going to cost Trump in multiple ways, mainly in terms of politics and public image.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to the jail situation and the contempt situation.
Yes, possibly.
I hate to be Debbie Downer about this, but I'm kind of with Renato Mariotti, who on the Stephanie Miller show today said that there's no way Donald Trump's going to go to jail for contempt. This is not. I don't think Judge Merchan is going to toss Donald Trump in jail for this prior to any actual sentencing at the conclusion of the trial. But that said, I think what we're going to see is quite a bit of fines levied against Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think $1,000 per instance is going to do it. I don't think that's going to be enough of a disincentive for Donald Trump. I think you've got to fine him a hell of a lot more, maybe $10,000 per instance.
I don't know how much leeway the judge here has. I understand it, 1,000 is the limit. So with that limit, the judge may have to look at more creative ways. I wouldn't rule out jail for Trump on this level. I believe the judge has the authority to jail a defendant for 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours or overnight. He can still be back in the courtroom the next day without the jury knowing he spent the night in jail. The prosecution has made it very clear here that this has to stop.
Yeah.
And the judge is not buying what he's hearing from Trump's lawyers. So expect some kind of serious action. We may have to build up to it. Like I said, maybe Merchan is laying a perjury trap for Trump by inviting him to the stand to assert under oath that he did not mean to violate the gag order. I wouldn't rule anything out. Maybe the fines can be higher. I read $1,000 per violation is the limit. But I know judges have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
This is a very experienced, a very wise judge. I think he will find a way to shut up Trump, but he has to get through today first.
Yeah, as to be clear, I don't like the fact that Renato said that Trump was probably not going to go to jail. I mean, obviously, I think he should go to jail for contempt. I think one of the things that the judges, and I say plural because we go back to Judge Engoron and the other judge whose name is slipping my mind, but Judge Kaplan, they're deeply concerned about making sure that whatever verdict comes up doesn't get overturned at the appeals level. So right. I think they're focused kind of on that and making sure they don't overextend themselves with punishments right. against Trump, sanctions, et cetera. And so I think that may be a consideration. I don't know. But it's possible that he could get thrown in jail overnight, I guess. I always thought it was 30 days. I thought that was the mandatory minimum for contempt.
But again, these things seem to be, you know, they seem to be carved in stone. I don't know how much flexibility the judge has. Yeah. We will find out. This may be one of the reasons he's taking some time to deliberate on this, because it's a tough spot to be in. When the prosecution asked for this, they asked for $1,000 per violation, which is the maximum.
Yeah.
They asked that Trump be reminded that he could spend 30 days in jail for violations. And they asked that all the posts be removed. And they said, you know, he's made it clear he's going to continue doing this. He must be stopped. And they urged the judge to do whatever is necessary to make it stop. And the judge appears to agree with them.
Meantime, Rolling Stone says Trump is pissed about the coverage, which makes me happy because I think part of the intent of the coverage is to troll him. Yeah, at least in certain circles. Lawrence O'Donnell, for example, is doing a wonderful job trolling Trump about all of this. Well, Rolling Stone reported that Trump hasn't been taking to martyrdom very well behind the scenes, though. Three sources with knowledge of the matter tell Rolling Stone he has privately raged over everything from reports that he can't stop dozing off to how the court sketch artist is rendering him to late night talk show host joking about his legal troubles. The former president is reaching levels of fury over the judicial process and all it entails that are maxed out even for him. Says one source who had to personally endure Trump's recent rantings about the trial. So you can imagine being that person sitting around listening to Donald Trump freak out about what's going on at the trial.
Michael Gold at the New York Times. Michael Gold of the New York Times reports, while court was on break, Trump complained about the gag order on Truth Social in an all caps post. Of course, he accused Judge Bershon of taking away his right to free speech and claimed that he was not allowed to defend myself.
The thing about his playpen talk that he's been doing in the parking garage, none of that is a defense. None of that is meant to be, okay, this is something that we're applying in the court as well. That's not happening. What Donald Trump is doing is he's making sure that all of his core supporters stay with him. So he's got two jobs in all of this. One, to defend himself in court based ostensibly on some sort of legal theory from his defense team. And then on the other hand, he's got to keep his people in line, because if they start to hear some of the things that are going on in court and they get just that information,
right,
it may end up peeling off some of those voters who may vote for RFK or vote for some sort of third party candidate or not vote at all.
This is what I want to say about the trial and for all of us to maybe embrace the idea that he may not be convicted in this trial. He might escape conviction because it only takes one juror to hang the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this trial will do irreparable damage to him and his campaign. If we can't get justice one way, we're going to get it the other way. Karma alone.
Yes, and that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that the trial itself will continue to damage Donald Trump publicly. Like all the people with the short attention spans, the people who can't remember what happened 4 years ago. And by the way, today is Drinking Bleach Day. If you go back 4 years, today is the day when
4 years ago today.
When Donald Trump asked, Dr. Birx, as to whether you can put sunlight or disinfectant inside the body to wipe out COVID, which he later claimed was sarcasm because he was messing with the press. That's what he said. Of course, that's a big lie. Mm-hmm. He genuinely thought, hey, look, you know, if you can kill COVID with bleach, why not try to put bleach in your body? Why not expose the inside of your body to sunlight? What could possibly go wrong there? So that was 4 years ago today. Just a little bit of a factoid.
I love I trip down memory lane. I like this. Yeah. I do check in occasionally to see what was going on 4 years ago today, and because I think that's very important. I think the claims of "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" that's pretty much faded now, at least in the right wing. Mm-hmm. But we should certainly continue to hammer at what life was like 4 years ago today under Donald Trump.
Oh yes, we've got to remind people because very obviously
we forget.
Yeah. There's this amnesia that happens among American voters. And I'm beginning to wonder, based on some of the poll results, and again, you should really not base anything on the poll results.
Believe
right
it
now,
or not, but, it's still early, yes.
Yeah, but there is still some indication that people don't remember. And it's incredibly bizarre. Oh, and I wonder if that is actually a side effect of COVID. God, I remember years ago saying the same thing, long before COVID. Like, do you not remember what happened just a couple of years ago when George W. Bush was president or whatever? And people don't. They move on. They get distracted. They get involved with their own lives, and they're not focused on remembering those things.
And they are flooded with data, with input, with media. They are flooded with it. They stand under the fire hose constantly. The difference is you and I and some of the folks listening to this show, we follow this stuff. It's almost like... instead of sports ball, we follow this.
That's true.
And we study it and we pay attention to the details, just like a baseball fan pays attention to, I guess they're called statistics.
Yeah.
just like they pay attention to that, we pay attention to our own sets of numbers and our own set of data. And sometimes we're surprised when other folk who don't do for a living what we do don't know what's going on. We shouldn't be, because they are overwhelmed with the very things that you outlined, Bob, and just this flood of media.
So I think it's our responsibility to an extent, and I don't love having to say this, or I don't love having to do this, but I feel as though it's our responsibility to remind people, to tap them on the shoulders. Oh yeah, remember 4 years ago? Remember when he stood up on television, national live television, and said that maybe we put disinfectant and sunlight inside the body and that'll take care of COVID? Well, thousands of people were dying, many of his own supporters dying because they were gullible enough to believe him and the nonsense that he kept spewing at those press conferences. Good God. But we have to do that anyway. We got to correct the record. We got to make sure people know, people remember. And there's the great benefit of easy access to that information. So there's no reason why you can't go back and find that clip, or you can't go back and find that news story and post it on Facebook, where a lot of regular folks end up hanging out. So,
and at least in the real world, you do that in a non-judgmental way. If it's simply a matter, there's the MAGA stubbornness. Yeah. But if it's simply a matter of them not knowing, well, then we can be nice about bringing them up to speed.
Okay, we have some breaking news. Kimberly is standing here. Do you want me to read this tweet?
Sure.
Should I read it? Okay. After Blanche, who's Blanche? That's one of the...
Todd Blanche, Todd Blanche, Trump's lawyer,
claimed Trump was going to great pains to comply with the gag order. Mershon lashed out at Blanche, quote,
"Yes,
you're losing all credibility. I have to tell you right now," Mershon said, "you're losing all credibility with the court."
Yes.
Wow. So
yes, that's
the attorney is losing credibility with the court.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier. Yeah, that's the quote I had earlier.
There it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kimberly. All right.
Yes.
Kimberly in the studio. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, there she goes. And so, meantime, Donald Trump, as we said, keeps falling asleep in court. And I have a solution for this.
Oh, good.
This is a great idea. I think next time he falls asleep, because at some point, I think Judge Mershon's got to sanction this guy for
say something about
up.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when you're on trial, imagine yourself being on trial. You can go to jail for 4 years and you're nodding off in court. Well, that's not good. So Bob has a plan here to help the defendant.
Yeah. We talked about this on Friday's after party. Those of you who are subscribers already know patreon.com/Bob Seska Show to subscribe. And I announced that maybe the solution is for the bailiff to have one of those air horns. So next time Donald Trump falls asleep, the bailiff just walks up and blasts it right in his ear. Hey,
right behind him, you know, right behind him.
Then he farts, and that's it.
Well, maybe not behind him.
Right. No, just right into his ear, like they do to like Danny DeVito does to Ann Ramsey in Throw Mama from a Train. Just goes right up, blasts it. And then
said that's when he releases the most gas, is when he dozes off. And he did, by the way, nod off again yesterday. Reports that he slept a bit, nodded off for a bit yesterday.
And speaking of that, we have a couple of corrections that we're going to talk about on the Shouter Docket coming up here on the show. One of them isn't even a correction. Bob and Buzz try desperately to be accurate with the show.
And honest and ethical. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in the Shouter Docket coming up later on.
We got crushed for it.
But another thing that we talked about on Friday that bears repeating is that Donald Trump was complaining how cold it was in the courtroom.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So the alpha tough guy, the macho guy, who is revered in MAGA circles as being, you know, this guy who we're constantly photoshopping to look like Rambo and crap like that. Well, apparently he needs a shawl while he's in courtroom. Grandma needs a shawl. He's like Eddie Murphy's grandma in that.
Wait till he makes that complaint in jail.
Baby, it's cold in here. Meantime. This is, I thought this was really insightful. It normally is from our friend Mary Trump.
Yes.
Apparently Donald is terrified. He's not terrified of losing his fortune or going to prison. I mean, fortune in quotes.
His image is ego. Right?
Yeah. As Mary has reported many times, he's terrified of being seen as a loser. And this is emphasizing the fact that he is a loser. In addition to being a loser, it's, and maybe these things are kind of one and the same, that his whole business empire is based on fraud. This is something that also I think we need to refresh the memories of our followers on social media about. The fact that Donald Trump has already been adjudicated of business fraud in Judge Engoron's court. Which he has to pay more than $500 million.
Never mind the fraud of Trump University or the Trump charity.
Yeah, right. And then this particular trial, this criminal trial, and Dr. Tracy Pearson made sure to emphasize this on the show last week, is the fact that this trial is, it's hush money. Yeah, it's election interference. The banner headline should be, though, that this trial is about business fraud. Trump committed business fraud. He falsified records in order to get away with paying this money without the press snooping around.
This is a hard case to explain to the public. It really is. And the public does not understand it. Most of the public, whether you and I like it or not, think this is a frivolous case.
Yeah.
And it will be our job to explain it and to stress the importance. I don't know that business fraud is the angle to take. You know, for somebody who's arguing he's a great businessman, it's certainly a good argument to make.
Yeah.
But in terms of this criminal trial, he was trying to subvert, pervert, or corrupt, I believe was the word of the prosecutors. He was trying to corrupt an election with this cover-up of hush money to a porn star.
Right. Well, the fraud speaks directly to the primary thing about his reputation, which is that he's a successful businessman with an amazing amount of wealth. Neither of those two statements are actually true. He's being proved to be a fraud in a court of law. It's much more than seeing that reported in the Washington Post or Snopes or anywhere else. This is about a court of law deciding, okay, this guy is a gigantic liar. His business success is all a lie. And here's exactly why.
Now, I keep seeing every day somebody's got a new, this is the way it should be framed.
And yeah, I know.
You know, I've heard everyone's advice, and I've now made up my own mind and will go my own way on that.
Right. Well, that's all fine because it all works. It all damages Donald Trump as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's absolutely
the point. Okay, we have a few more things to talk about along these lines, just a couple of additional details to wrap up. Jon Stewart mentioned this trial yesterday, and he had a somewhat decent point, and we're going to talk about that, even though we have mentioned the fact that Donald Trump's been falling asleep and farting in court.
Right.
Jon Stewart was talking about how there's a lot of bullshit, a lot of banal reporting happening surrounding this proceeding.
I'm eager to hear this. I've read about this. I'm eager to hear what you've got. Because I think I'm going to take issue with it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm kind of in agreement with what Jon Stewart said, only from the perspective of the empty podium. We'll get into it here in a second.
Very good.
Yeah. Plus, what the fuck are the House Republicans talking about? They have something called the Floor Action Response Team. Figure out the acronym for that one. Is this real? I don't know. We'll figure it all out right after we take a short break, back after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
When you hear a Republican actually say what's true, for a brief moment, your heart fills with hope. Your mind says, wow, maybe they see the light. It understands that for the last, 9 months, they've been holding up aid to Ukraine, and they're parsing out their bullets now, and it'd be better to send bullets over there than it would to be sending over Mike Johnson's little boy who's going to the Naval Academy next year. Maybe he understands it now. No. It's just a brief cleansing moment of clarity. He's going to introduce the legislation. He will, you know, and then he'll do exactly what they all do, okay? Every single last person to a man who has ever done the right thing while having an R next to their last name has recanted what is right and true. All of them. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Yeah, this is Everyday Dolores. Spinning this one again. It's called the LCD, the name of the song. And part of the name of this band rhymes with a female body part. This one. Dolores. Those of you who watch TV in the 90s know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Or listen to the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Link in the description, of course, to support Everyday Dolores and this song. Just go to bobseska.com. Find this episode dated 4/23/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you can download all of the music here on the show. Thank you.
Here's what I'm going to need. I'm going to need a beanbag chair and some headphones.
That's the best way to do it. You got to have a beanbag chair if you want to enjoy real music. Yeah. All right, bobseska.com/music2. Submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so this Jon Stewart, I guess it was his A block yesterday, last night. I semi-agree with what he had to say about the banal coverage.
And well, I haven't heard it yet, so yeah. I'll be eager to hear.
Well, I'm talking specifically about the coverage that happens before the trial proceedings actually begin. And this is where I kind of agree with him, because I feel like a little bit of the coverage is the new version of the empty podium. And that is, let's follow Donald Trump's motorcade through Manhattan as it winds its way to the courtroom. Oh, he's getting into the car now. He's starting the car. They're waiting. They're waiting. Yeah. They're waiting to pull out into traffic. Now they're out into traffic. Oh, here he comes. Now. Okay. They're driving three blocks down, and there they are at the courtroom. Now he's getting out of the car.
No.
That is nonsense. Stop doing that.
Like,
for example,
agreed.
Yeah, there were a bunch of examples that he played to back up this observation. CNN, for example, is quoted as saying, you're looking at live pictures in New York City of Donald Trump's motorcade, KTLA. It's about a 20-minute drive between Trump Tower and the court building. WABC, Trump leaving Trump Tower down Fifth Avenue. WNYW, now they're making their way across town along 57th Street. They just crossed Park Avenue, making their way up toward Lexington Avenue.
Obscene.
Fox News, he's heading down the FDR. That's no, no, stop, stop.
I agree.
No, no.
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. I agree with that criticism completely. I have watched very little television coverage. I've been reading live coverage from reporters who are in the room.
Good for
By
you.
The way, how cool was it Rachel got in the room yesterday?
Yes.
But I've been getting my updates directly from the reporters who are now inside the courtroom, no longer in an overflow room.
Yeah.
And so, and by the way, Mr. Pecker is on the stand.
Oh, is he on the stand?
While we do the show. And so far, the question, he was on for like a half an hour yesterday before they had to adjourn, and he's been going a few minutes here today. And so far, it's been very smooth. He's presented himself as a very likable individual to the jury. The jury, I suspect, likes David Pecker based on what I've read so far. And he's a quiet, unassuming man. He's been very nice. He has not been combative in his answers at all. And the latest update from the New York Times has Pecker describing a symbiotic relationship between Trump and the National Enquirer, centered in part around The Apprentice.
Wow.
Pecker says Trump would tip him off first as to who was going to be fired or eliminated, as Pecker puts it, from the show, and then the National Enquirer would be able to have it in a timely fashion in their next issue. And so we're starting now. We're still, we've gotten past the who are you, how do you know Trump, blah, blah, blah. We've gotten past all of that, and now we're just now, by this update, starting to get into the meat of the symbiotic relationship or ultimate conspiracy between David Pecker and Donald Trump, and for that matter, Michael Cohen.
So what you're saying is Pecker was smooth and the jury likes Pecker. Is that, that's your reporting?
And the longer the better. So...
Jesus. Yeah.
This is our last show, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. No. It'll be fine. This too shall. Yeah, when it comes to flatulence, this too shall pass.
Shit, where's your.
I can't stop. I can't stop.
Oh, yeah, and you know who else can't stop? And I'm so here for it. The great Lawrence O'Donnell.
Yeah.
As we said, just doing an immense job of trolling Donald Trump every night. And it's one of my favorite things in the world, that A block, watching him just because he knows, and you can tell there's a twinkle in his eye. He knows that Donald Trump is watching, and he takes full advantage over that. He just crawl inside Donald Trump's worm infested brain and just camp out there and fuck with him for 20 minutes. It's amazing. So he Lawrence tweeted out yesterday with a photograph. He said, I counted a total of 3 Trump supporters at the courthouse today. Right. The loudest person was the guy yelling at them, Bill Clinton, balance the budget. That's exactly what happened. There was no one out there supporting Donald Trump. And you know how I know that Lawrence O'Donnell got into Trump's head?
Wow.
Today, Donald Trump was demanding that his supporters come out and start protesting peacefully.
He's demanding more than that. He is emphasizing peacefully, but it does what he's been saying, Bob, does sound an awful lot like January 6th. He's asked for the police to be removed and moved instead to the universities where protests are occurring.
Jesus.
Okay, so he wants the police gone.
Yeah.
He says falsely that his supporters are being corralled off at a separate location. That is not true. There is no other location. The truth is, even though there are 2 million people within an hour, let me modify that.
Yeah.
There are 2 million Trump supporters within a one-hour drive of the courthouse, and none of them have shown up.
Yeah. Yeah, how sad, right? Sorry, Donald. They're just not that into you. They're not into you enough to drive to support you, to commute in, to hop on the train and ride into the city and support you. And this is something that Lawrence O'Donnell is doing every night. You know, he's a lifestyle brand. Donald Trump is a lifestyle brand for these people. They like supporting him by buying his merch and wearing his hats and waving his flags. But anything that requires a little bit of effort, anything to actually support this guy, to offer moral support by turning out in large enough numbers to make a difference outside one of Donald Trump's court venues, that's a bridge too far, is what
that is. Yes, it's a bridge too far, indeed.
Yeah. Speaking of farts, we got to talk about this thing that I'm still not convinced that it's real. There's a story going around about the House Freedom Caucus, or as I call them, the House Rodeo Clown Caucus, because right. their whole mission is to distract from what the rest of the party is doing, to act like bozos and freaks and weirdos. So we're all talking about whatever Marjorie Taylor Greene has said or whatever Matt Gaetz has said, et cetera. But they have formed a task force that is apparently called the Floor Action Response Team, or FART. Why? Sure. First of all, really? And second of all, why?
Those and are for the, two and questions. For those of you, and for those of you who might think, oh, well, they're doing that as a play on what Trump's been doing in court. No.
No.
They named it that before he started passing gas in court.
That's right. So it's this weird serendipity. It's like a fart serendipity where Donald Trump's farting in court and the House Republicans have a fart. I don't even want to say, I almost said a fart team, which would actually be Floor Action Response Team. And the idea is to alert the rest of the caucus whenever the Democrats are trying shenanigans on the floor of the House. Like, okay, we got to make sure, oh, look, they're up to something. Let's go shout them down or whatever. I mean, Lauren Boebert has tweeted as saying, and this is in the New York Post. So again, I don't know. Is it real? I don't know. But Lauren Boebert is quoted as saying, we make things really smelly for them.
Yeah, well.
If it's real.
I believe it.
I mean, look.
I believe it's real.
I make fart jokes and play fart sounds all the time. But I'm just a podcaster. These are members of Congress. This is an elite group of Americans, 435 of them in the House. They should have a certain level of decorum, which they don't have anymore, that matches the status of being a member of Congress, I feel like, to a certain extent. And certainly they should have fun in the job. I'm not denying them of that. But maybe having a team called FART, a task force called FART, is just too unserious for Congress.
I had taken that caucus completely seriously until... No, they've always been a joke. They've always, like you said, it's the clown caucus. Expect this. Expect a circus. And that's what they've provided us with here. I believe that the New York Post story is real based on what you said. I don't think they would print a false Lauren Boebert quote. That, and I believe that she would say that. So that, in my mind, that was the clincher. That was the thing that confirmed that, yeah, they really did form this committee and name it that because they're punks, because they want to irritate people. There's so much of that now among Republicans on the street in real life. They want to be tough, you know, logic doesn't enter into it for them. It's completely emotion.
Well, they're not saying that the Democrats are farts. They themselves are framing themselves as farts.
Yes, it's just insane. Which is further proof they are not serious legislators. You know, we've always known they weren't serious legislators. Yeah, yeah. This is just another stupid-ass representation of the fact that they are not serious legislators. They are not serious about governing. Yeah. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, it seems like we've lost... you talked about the elevated nature of holding public office. I don't know that elevated nature exists in the minds of the public anymore.
Yeah.
And it certainly doesn't exist within that caucus. I think, you know, the whole thing yesterday with Trump's lawyers calling him President Trump, saying that they were going to continue to call him President Trump throughout the trial and indicating that everyone should call him President Trump. The judge entered the courtroom this morning by saying, "Good morning, Mr. Trump."
Interesting.
There was no president there.
That makes me happy.
So, but the point is, thanks to Trump and to people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and on and on and on, no wonder people have lost respect for public office. It is no longer an elevated position, sadly, tragically.
Mm-hmm. And that is actually what gave us Donald Trump.
They fed each other. Yeah.
Well, I think partially it has to do with the demystification of not just public office, but the presidency itself, where people see the presidency as not being this elite thing. They see it more as something anyone can do. It's like, I think it comes out of that idea that we saw a whole lot of during the early Bush years. Like, okay, well, this is a guy you want to have a beer with. This is a guy that is just like you, right? He's just like Donald Trump talks and acts just like you do. Don't you see? And that is bullshit. That is so, we don't want presidents who act like us. We want the best of the best.
Well, you don't. You
right.
You know, Donald Trump's popularity hinges on the fact there are Black Americans, individuals, I'm not talking about groups, I'm talking about individuals here. There are Black Americans, there are white Americans, there are Americans of every skin color and ethnic background who like him because, quote unquote, he speaks his mind. Mm-hmm. He says what he means. And they perceive that as honesty.
Yeah.
And they embrace it. And because he says just whatever's on his mind, that makes him like them.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. And that's how we got to this level. And I, you know, we're kind of arguing chicken and egg here. I really think Trump alone and the popularity of him, the resultant popularity is what got us to this point where holding public office means little to nothing now.
I think they believe that he's honest about his bullshit, just adding to what you were saying.
In some cases,
He knows that he's bullshitting them. And that's a weird thing to say. Okay, well, he's honest because he knows he's bullshitting. That's fucked up. That is not a clear view of what he's all about.
And some of them know that he's bullshitting, and they like that about him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a hard monster to fight.
Mm-hmm. His followers are his primary victims.
Yes.
These are the people who are subject to all of the bullshit. And by and large, they buy it. And I don't think this honesty thing has to do with what I just said. I think they genuinely believe he's being honest to the best of his knowledge, which is just not happening. He knows he's bullshitting. He needs to be able to deceive them. He needs to have this kind of framing where he's lying about everything, literally tens of thousands of things. We're talking about, during his presidency alone, 30,000 lies. Again, I go back to the American nervous breakdown. I just think a lot of people have lost touch with reality. And it's a sad thing to say, but I think it's absolutely true. And this is just another example of that. One thing I've been talking about with regard to Trump for some time now is something that I don't think a lot of people are giving much thought to, which is the fact that Donald Trump doesn't have to run again. If he's elected in November, he doesn't have to run again. And that could mean either because of the 22nd Amendment, you and I have talked about this, Buzz, or the fact that he will stay in office beyond his next 4 years, provided he does win the election.
A very scary but entirely likely possibility, yes.
And the fact that he doesn't have to run again means he can do whatever he wants. He's no longer accountable to voters. It's not like his first term where he had a bit of a mind on, well, I got to run again, so I don't want to piss people off too much. So next time around, he doesn't have that consideration at all. And you know what? Now that's actually becoming a thing. They're talking about this, that Donald Trump doesn't have to run again so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. This is Lara Trump at some event. I don't know what the event was, but she's the RNC co-chair. And she says that a second Donald Trump term will be scorched earth. And why? Because he doesn't have to run again.
He showed us a whole lot that we didn't know was going on within the media, within Washington, D.C. He exposed a lot of people. So they have to do everything they can to keep him
out. I know the people he exposed, by the way, I'm going to interrupt Lara Trump here.
Yeah.
The people he exposed, to be clear about this, were simply people who were just holding Donald Trump accountable. People who were criticizing Donald Trump. It's not like he went into the presidency and started to expose nobodies in the FBI or nobodies in the Treasury Department or nobodies in the Department of the Interior or nobodies in Congress. He was going after people who were criticizing him. And that's the only people he exposed.
Right. You know? And I wouldn't even call that exposing. He didn't expose Jack. He didn't expose anybody or anything. Mm. There's a lot of talk about, Trump's exposed this or he's going to expose that. He hasn't exposed anything.
No,
he's yelled at people. He's called people names. He's made false claims about people. He hasn't exposed crap.
Well, I think of one example where he was attacking Mika Brzezinski for having some sort of cosmetic face procedure.
But that's not. But he didn't expose any. Well, I guess he exposed.
Yeah, he exposed
her face
the fact
procedure,
that she had. Yeah, had the.
That's
face
not. Procedure. I would hardly in terms of government and corruption and governing. That's not an exposure. It's not relevant.
Yeah.
Talk to me about something important.
Right. Right. Well, here's Lara Trump saying that he exposed people when he really didn't at all.
He exposed a lot of people, so they have to do everything they can to keep him out of that White House, because they know Donald Trump gets in for four more years, the jig is up for them. The gloves are off. There are no holds barred here. He is going full throttle. He's not worried about winning another election.
There it is.
It's 4 years of scorched earth when Donald Trump retakes the White House.
Jeez. Saying the quiet part out loud, huh?
Yeah, perhaps, indeed. Like I said, a frightening but entirely likely possibility.
He doesn't have to run again. Do you know how freeing that is? I mean, imagine it's like I imagine it's like getting tenure at a college,
right,
and you're
right,
a professor. You don't have to worry about the threat of losing your job or anything. You're pretty secure. So therefore, you can kind of spread your wings and fly to an extent. Or in Donald Trump's case, you can go scorched earth, which is exactly what he's going to do. When they say things like this to their people, this in particular, I can absolutely see this happening. It's right there in Project 2025. It's right there in Agenda 47. This is something that he's going to do. He's going to get into office. He's going to dismantle the whole thing around the central theme, the central goal of making sure he can remain in office in perpetuity. And so everything that he does from day one forward is going to be with that goal in mind. And so we need to bear this in mind. We need to spread the word about this. We all know it, of course. I'm just reinforcing things that we already know here. But we've got to make sure other people know, because I think there's a large contingent of people. And again, we go back to the national amnesia. There's a large contingent of people who are like, yeah, things weren't that bad when Trump was president, you know, because it's something. I mean, businessman president, I don't know. They've got this weird misapprehension that comes out of not remembering, not being reminded, having a skewed, forgetting the entirety of 2020.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it's and required I, to know, forget what
I,
happened.
I sort of understand that, and I sort of forget myself sometimes. I really do.
How
I mean,
so?
I have to stop and think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's something psychological to this, that we were all so relieved to get past the pandemic,
yeah,
that a lot of us maybe perhaps like to at least subconsciously pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, right.
And forget a lot of things. I mean, I think the mind blocks out unpleasant things, mm-hmm, and there is a need, and the force of life is to move forward. So, yeah, people have forgotten. Yes, it's our job to remind them. But again, I kind of understand how this happened. It shouldn't have. I would have done anything I could. I've done everything I can to prevent it, but life moved on. I was unable to hold back, you know, the hands of the clock and make people remember. So, you know, we're forced to remind them now.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes if a similar thing happened with the previous pandemic, the flu pandemic.
Yeah, it could be.
Because that's not something that, in my memory, you know, at least growing up in the 70s, which was 50 years after that occurred.
Right.
I never heard people talk about it a whole lot. I remember the first time I actually heard about it, I think it was referenced in a movie or something like that.
Right.
Like one of the characters lost their mother to influenza. But it was never described as being this brutal pandemic where millions of people died. And so maybe COVID ends up being the same. It's just like something that was so tragic and awful that we just don't talk about it. But it's important from a political point of view.
Oh, of course.
Emphasize.
We've agreed that's our job, is to keep reminding people. But with the understanding of how we got here.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is the psychological desire to put it in the past, to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be an interesting experiment just to ask people on the street, do you remember that time Trump was on TV every day?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they do. And then how long did that, was that like a month or 2 months? How long did that go on? Nobody remembers any of that
stuff. It's all blur.
Yeah, it's all a you know what? There it is, right there.
Right.
Maybe the name of today's show. It was all a blur.
Yeah. I live tweeted every single one of those goddamn things. I mean, literally every single one.
Right.
And there are a few that stick out. Mm-hmm. But by and large, it was just a lot of jibbidi-bidoo, jibbidi-bidoo.
Right.
It was Trump noises for most of that. And then we remember, you know, Fauci face-palming. We remember the disinfectant.
Yeah.
I remember Liberate Michigan. But, I mean, we're talking about days and days and days and days and days and days and weeks.
Most people don't. Again, this was our job to pay attention.
Yeah.
Most people don't remember this. They had to go about their lives. And there's been so much. Mm-hmm. So I understand. I hate it. I'm sorry. I've tried to prevent it. It's all we can do now is work to turn around the lost memories so that people really know what they're voting for or against. Whenever you're ready, I could do an update on.
Oh, yes. Let's have an update.
Your Pecker update. he has testified. He's testified about his knowledge of Hope Hicks and his relationship with Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
And it was established that Trump was a micromanager, particularly with money. This will be an important point because Trump is claiming he didn't know who wrote the checks.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else wrote the checks. I had nothing to do with that.
Sure.
And so that's a key moment in so far in today's Pecker testimony. Also from the New York Times, prosecutors are honing in now on a meeting between Trump, Cohen, and Pecker. I received a call from Michael Cohen telling me the boss wanted to see me. Pecker says he didn't know the purpose of the meeting before he arrived. When he got there, he says Cohen and Trump asked him what he and his magazines could do to help the campaign. And so it begins. So we're beginning to lay out, it's Tuesday, and we're already laying out Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
We're already laying out for the jury this how this conspiracy was built.
Yeah, I remember those National Enquirer covers in the grocery store for throughout that 2016 campaign. There was one in particular that I took a snapshot of with my phone, and it was one of the many Hillary Clinton is dying headlines.
Yes, yes.
And there was a picture that was very obviously photoshopped to make her look more sickly.
Right.
And God damn the myth, the bullshit. And it's important to emphasize the fact that David Pecker had a significant stake in Donald Trump's victory in that election. Because imagine
just
the regular people passing by those National Enquirer front pages.
Exactly.
The grocery
exactly.
stores.
Even though the magazine only has like, a million and or had at the time, maybe a million and a half circulation. That's tiny.
Yeah.
But every American who went to a grocery store or a convenience mart saw that National Enquirer cover. Yesterday, David Pecker testified that the only thing that's important about the magazine, he said it doesn't matter what's inside. He said the cover is everything.
That's it. That's it.
And so that's been established as well. He's now he's described himself as a master of catch and kill. He says coverage of Hillary Clinton described Bill as a womanizer. He says that was a big seller. He says, I was running the Hillary Clinton stories. I was running Hillary as an enabler for Bill Clinton with respect to all the womanizing.
Jesus.
And so we're starting to get into the nitty gritty of it, as it were.
Yeah, and you mentioned catch and kill. That was the defining frame around what they were doing with Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels.
Oh, exactly. And a story that proved to be false. There were really three stories that were paid to be buried.
Yeah.
One was a false story about Trump from a doorman who said Trump fathered a baby in his building or something. That turned out to be untrue, but hush money was paid to keep that story out of the press nevertheless.
Jesus.
Hush money was paid to Karen McDougal.
Wow.
Hush money was paid to Stormy Daniels, and this will all be outlined. It has already been said to the jury, and now they're going to see the proof of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then that hush money, the idea was to make sure that this didn't hurt Donald Trump. And I like one of the remarks made in the opening statement by the prosecution yesterday, saying that the intent of this was to deceive the American public, and to an extent, we don't know for sure how this affected the outcome of the election. But, it may have. That's the idea. That was the point that was being made.
But he said the crime was committed to, and his word was, to corrupt the 2016 election.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Absolutely.
Yes.
So one quick thing here legally that we want to get to. This goes to the Mar-a-Lago documents case. where, yes, we all know Donald
Trump.
Yeah.
Excuse me for breaking in. The hearing has turned heated as the judge considers citing Trump for contempt.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. And,
yeah, I mean, I just got that from the New York Times 4 minutes ago, but let me keep checking on that.
So does this, maybe it appears as though he's going to do it. He's going to cite Trump, which will probably be in the form of the fine.
You know, this was falsely labeled by the New York Times as a live update. They're referencing something that happened earlier, the thing that Kimberly and I were talking about.
Gotcha.
The comment about you've lost all credibility.
Oh, there it
is. So the New York Times labeled it as a live update, and it's really a reference back to something that happened earlier.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we're going to move to Mar-a-Lago now. Not literally. I would never live in Mar-a-Lago. It looks like Trump Tower farted inside Mar-a-Lago. But Person 16 is a senior Trump aide.
That's all we know.
And so Person 16 said that Trump promised Walt Nauta a pardon this year.
In my mind, first of all, is witness tampering in the middle of a trial.
Exactly.
That trial has also already begun. Mm-hmm. And while we're in the midst of it, Trump is offering the bribe of a pardon.
Yes. A new filing in the classified documents case reveals a key witness identified only as Person 16 says Donald Trump offered now co-defendant Walt Nauta a pardon in 2024. Quote, even if he gets charged with lying to the FBI.
Yes.
Donald Trump makes things worse for Donald Trump.
Always.
Always, always, always.
He's doing it right now as we speak, in fact. Right?
Yeah, yeah. The filing, this new filing reveals, as Hugo Lowell put it, that Smith, quote, had cooperation from a senior Trump aide, including post-presidency. So that's the other layer to this, is that this senior Trump aide, maybe De Oliveira, possibly. There's a number of characters who could be Person 16. But he or she is now cooperating with Jack Smith and providing this kind of information. So keep a close eye on that.
This is big.
Very, very big. And so, you know, the only thing in that case is Judge Cannon and whatever she's going to do with this. Who the hell knows? That's a whole separate story. But fingers crossed that this does not get completely decimated by Judge Cannon, who is obviously acting in support of her benefactor, Donald Trump, who appointed her to office. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and I've got an update on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Not a good day for Donald Trump.
And
with Truth Central.
No, he keeps having those, and I'll have a pecker update, too.
Oh, good. We always need a good pecker update on the show. Thank you. Thank you, boys. Okay, that's enough. Back with more show right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Tell me.
This is TikTok celebrity Freak Face. Yeah, this is one of his latest singles called Change My Mind. Yeah, you got to support Freak Base. He's one of the guys who's going to be completely steamrolled if TikTok goes away. One of the downsides.
He'll be all right.
I don't know.
Now, I have faith. This guy is so talented and has so much energy, so much good energy.
Yeah.
Here's what I have. There's one word to sum up Freak Base.
Okay.
Fun.
That's true.
He has gathered a wonderful base, and I think he's reached a point. Even though he became a star of TikTok,
I believe
he's reached a level of stardom that he can take that anywhere that's available.
I hope so. Because as I've said on the show before, if I were in Freakbase's place or many of other people who have made names for themselves on TikTok to the point of where it's become their career, I have great empathy for those people. I mean, I'm not obviously not a huge fan of TikTok, right? But at the same time, I am a fan of Freakbase. I am a fan of a lot of people who have established themselves on that platform who will be unwitting victims of the platform of a band. Yeah.
No doubt at all. And I know that there's a financial aspect to this. I just want Freakbase and perhaps others like him, but because he's so incredibly talented, I want him to keep the faith. He's going to be all right. He's just that freaking talented.
That's right. And the thing about Freakbase is he's not just talented. He's just a really nice guy.
Yes,
he's a genuinely good man. So
I think that helps. Yeah.
That's the kind of person you want to support, right?
Right.
Okay. So Truth Central.
Truth Central.
It had a couple of good days in there. There are a couple of days where I just kind of sat back and watched as it gained some points day after day. I think it was a couple of days. And now that's over. Right. It's now collapsing again. I think last time I checked, let me check the ticker here on the NASDAQ. Yeah, right now it's down 8.5 percentage points.
What level? What is the price now?
It's now at $32.50. That's the current stock price. It's down still, $3 today.
Very much like last week, it's still skimming the bottom. I mean, it's been skimming the bottom for a long time. Eventually, that stone will sink.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's skipping across the lake, and it can't get any lower without going under. And that's exactly where it's headed. But it has been... It has been treading water, as it were, for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody should know that its survival is down there at the bottom, and its long-term survival prospects are zero.
It's still my favorite show.
Oh, sure.
Watching this ticker is my favorite thing in the world every day. Yeah,
it's hard. You need split screen now. You need multiple screens like Zoom because my favorite shows are Truth Social and The Current Criminal Trial.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think there's room. I think we have room for both and more.
Yeah, and by the way, it's important that you follow Buzz. I don't promote your Twitter as often as I should. But at Michael J. Elston is how you can find him on social media, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, just go to the search bar, type in either Michael J. Elston or Buzz Burbank, because I am identified by both at all of the locations on X, Facebook, Threads, and Spoutable.
Stephanie Miller talked about you on her show. I think it was yesterday.
Oh, how nice. She's always very nice to do that.
And she referred to you as Michael Elston. So I was listen to that.
Where the hell's the J?
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's fine. No, she's been very kind, and I always enjoy when I hear back that she's quoted a joke or something like that. Yeah. That's all. That makes me very happy.
Well, so Donald Trump, in keeping with his twisted personality, is claiming that his declining stock price is rigged. Naturally, he can't take responsibility for his own janky business.
And I didn't do it. I didn't break it. Yeah. Somebody else broke it.
So Trump, the headline is Trump media alerts NASDAQ to potential market manipulation from naked short selling of DJT stock. So apparently lots of people are short selling Trump media.
If you ever encounter a naked short seller, throw a blanket over him or something.
Gross.
Yeah.
This is Trump media claiming that its stock price is being dragged down by short sellers, when in fact people are short selling the stock because it sucks and the fundamentals are horrible and it's been declining ever since the IPO. So it's no wonder people are short selling this. This is what happens. On top of that, Donald Trump accusing other people of market manipulation is utterly fucking hysterical to
me. Somebody else broke it. I didn't break it. Somebody else broke it.
Yeah, but Donald Trump's got a long, long history of manipulating the stock market.
Yeah, I don't know, Bob. That doesn't sound like him.
No, it doesn't sound like him at all. No, no. Of course, he always plays on the level, right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But now he's going after short sellers, people who are just doing the And by the way, you know, I think short selling should be banned. I don't like short selling.
Yeah, yeah, betting against stocks.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It deliberately tanks a stock, and it's obviously the intent is to make money off of an already declining price. But at the same time, it accelerates the decline by short selling. So I think a lot of good companies may have gone under because of short selling. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seems hinky to me. It doesn't seem like it's on the level.
Yeah, it's not right.
No,
it doesn't sound right.
No, definitely not. And by the way, you know what? As we wrap up the show.
Oh.
This has been one of those episodes where we've both been relentlessly trying to follow the news at the same time that we've been talking.
Right, right.
And also, I don't know what's going on with me. My voice feels weird. I feel like maybe it's a little bit of allergies or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's pollen is everywhere.
Yeah,
as Madge would say, you're soaking in it.
Yeah, I think that's it. Especially here in the DMV, as the kids call it, DC area, where God, I remember when I was interning for Don and Mike and you. It was before I was officially your intern, I remember the pollen hit me like a ton of bricks, and then I had to go on the air one day and talk, and I sounded like this. I was like, I don't know what to do.
I hate when that happens. It sounded terrible.
Yeah. And so that was not fun, publicly having to deal with that. When you're talking for a living and allergies hit you, you can really hear it. At least I hear it in myself. Yeah. I hope you all have not heard my crackly voice today. Anyway.
We tried to share on today's show some of the things you may hear on the news tonight or tomorrow about today's testimony.
Yeah.
We'll have another Pecker update for you subscribers over there on the Shadow Docket.
That's right. Stick around for the Pecker updates around the clock. We do Pecker updates on the fours, as they say.
We just flat ran out of time.
That's right. Well, still to come, Republicans are worried about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We'll talk about that.
Be.
Yeah. They should be. Bad news for Matt Gaetz.
Oh, good.
And Trump flip-flopped on TikTok. We didn't even mention that.
That sounds painful. If you've ever flip-flopped on TikTok, it hurts.
You know what? I'm just going to mention this now. Donald Trump, while he was president, signed an executive order to ban TikTok. And now he's saying it's Joe Biden who wants to ban TikTok.
Of course. Typical.
So he was for a ban before he was against it.
Exactly, Bob. You know,
but that's not going to stick at all because times are not normal. Of course, that stuck to John Kerry in 2004. He was for it before he was against it.
We still had memories then. We don't anymore. Forget it.
We still had standards, apparently. Now, if Donald Trump flip-flops, it's just another thing. Of the millions of Donald Trump things that get lost in the fire hose of news. Okay, the show continues on the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, $5 a month. We'll see you over there. Bye-bye.